Amen. The Bible tells us, remember when the children of Israel were getting ready to go into the land and live in the land and so forth before Joshua took them in. Moses in the book of Deuteronomy commanded the second generation in Deuteronomy 8:17 and verse 18, I believe. He says, listen, don't you say in your heart that by your power and by your might you've gained all this wealth. He said, for it is the Lord God that gives you power to get wealth. Amen? And that is exactly the same way that it is today. See, pride because of possessions or pride because of riches is for a believer is a tragic sign of immaturity on their part. If we're going to be bragging about anything, we need to do what God says about bragging. He said, you can brag. I'll give you something to brag about. In Jeremiah 9:23, he says, let not the rich man brag or boast in his riches, but let the rich man, let those who are mighty, all of them, he said, let them do this. Why don't you brag about me, that you know me and that you understand me? Now, that's something to brag about. Amen. I know God as my Father, and so do you. And so, man, I say, Lord, you're so good. Now, listen, every believer, let me stop. Don't you hate debt? If you live so long with a credit card, do you think it's part of your life? You know? Listen, I hate debt. I'm not in debt. I don't want to be in debt. I don't want to owe anyone anything. Listen, you know why we're debt-free? Because we don't want to ever be, the borrower is servant to the lender. Yes. Listen, if the bank owned this building, we're paying the bank, and they're making all that interest. They're ripping God off. Do you understand? You know, listen, you have to treat debt as an enemy, as an enemy. You know, we're 30 years old, and I think we've been debt-free the first 3 years. I said, no, and we paid this thing off. And, you know, I had to even sign for it. They didn't trust the church. And then they didn't trust me because they said, when you sign for it, you don't have any money. I had to go get other people to help me. And we paid this thing off instantly. I'll never forget the day that Pastor Thomas stood right here and made the announcement to the church and tore up the deed, you know, the banknote. You know what I'm saying? We've never been in debt again, nor we're going to be. Amen? Now, why did I say that? Because every believer that loves Jesus Christ, you must learn to master money, or money one day will start mastering you. There's no way around it, loved one. You've got to be careful with that. That's why Jesus said in Luke 16:13, he says, no servant can serve two masters. Either you'll hate one, love the other, be loyal to the one, or despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or serve God and wealth. Did you hear that word? Cannot. It's impossible. It's not going to work. And so, you know, wealth will be your master, and then the Lord will be your master. It just wouldn't work. One tells you to live by faith. The other one says live by sight. Does that make sense? So you have to be careful. Now, listen, you know, we don't want to ever compromise. And I never want us, and I know you don't want this either, I don't want to be conformed to the materialistic values of the world that we live in. Not at all. So Paul tells Timothy now, he's setting the church in order. He says, command those who are rich in this present age, again, not to be proudful. Don't be high-minded. And here comes the next attitude we're to have. Do not trust in uncertain riches. Riches are uncertain. In other words, gasoline was $2 not too long ago, whenever it was last year, $3, I forget now. Look at it today. Everything is crazy. You know, so money goes up, money goes down. Now money's worth something. Money's not, the stock market goes, you follow me. No, it's uncertain. Money is very uncertain. You know, and today people use financial planners and advisors, and that's not a bad thing at all. But you know what? I tell you, the best financial planner in the world is the Word of the living God. When you do what He says, all power belongs to Him. All wisdom and knowledge belongs to Him. Amen? Man, listen, go into the Word of God and it'll teach you what to do about money. Do you know that Jesus talked more about riches than He did heaven? And not only that, we need to keep our eye on God more than keeping our eye on the wealth, because God will tell you, you need to correct this and correct that and save you money. Now, wealth can be wiped out in the blink of an eye. Let me give you the scripture, Proverbs 23:5. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, and they fly away like an eagle toward heaven. Right now, the world, money means everything in this world. And there's going to reach one day a climax about money. It's going to get to the highest level. The cup is going to start running over. And that's going to happen in the great tribulation period, where in 1 hour, everything is going to be taken away from mankind, talking about riches during the great tribulation period. Let me give you the scripture. In Revelation 18:14, it says, "And the fruit of your soul," talking about Babylon, okay? It says, "The fruit of your soul, you lusted for these riches, but they've gone from you. And all things which are rich and splendid, well, they're gone from you, and you will find them never again," or no more at all. Revelation 8:17, "For in 1 hour, such great riches came to nothing." Isn't it amazing? There, when in the great tribulation period, we'll already be in heaven. It's empty lives, boy, just empty hearts, trusting in empty riches. That's a picture of our world today. So he says here, our attitude, he says, don't be prideful. He says, don't trust in certain uncertain riches. But he says to do this, our attitude, the right attitude should be that we trust in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Do you know that all true enjoyment has its source in God? That's a true word. See, everything else is temporary enjoyment, isn't it? But God says, no, I give you richly all things to enjoy. And who can provide more security for you and me than Almighty God? You know, my question would be this. Are you enjoying the riches that God has provided for you? And we are rich, loved one. And I realize that some of you are going through struggles, but you need to listen to this sermon and not say, close me down because of this. We'll get to the end and you'll see something different. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Chronicles 29:12, both riches and honor come from God. Think about that. Ecclesiastes 5:19, the preacher Solomon, he says this, "For as every man whom God has given riches and wealth," every man, listen to what he does, "he's given him power to eat of it." That is a blessing, isn't it? To have money, but you're not, it's not a curse in your life. It's a blessing in your life. He says, this is a gift of God. Psalm 50, verse 10, God says in his word, "For every beast of the forest is mine. The cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. I know all the birds of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine." If I were hungry, but God never gets hungry. But if he says, if I were hungry, talking to the nation of Israel, he says, "I would not tell you." And here's the reason. "For the world is mine and all its fullness." God owns it all. Amen. No. God, listen, everything belongs to God. God created everything. Everything. Amen. Are y'all with me this morning? Okay. I was only gone one Sunday. Hello. How many of you have heard of the new Webb telescope? Okay, three of you. Now listen, did you see the first picture released? All those galaxies? I read about that, and I didn't realize this, but the scientist said, you're not seeing it clearly. He said, what you need to do is go pick up one grain of sand, and put it in your hand and hold your arm out and look at it, and that is what you're seeing through that telescope. In other words, that's how huge the universe is, filled with billions and billions of galaxies and stars, and they didn't even realize it, the scientists. But God owns all of that. See, God owns everything, and he owns us. We are the sheep of his pasture. Matter of fact, loved one, listen, he gives us all things richly to enjoy, and that means the only right attitude that we can have is one of thanksgiving unto the Lord. Lord, you provide everything. You're Jehovah Jireh. You really are my provider. Amen? Matter of fact, the air that you're breathing right now, you think it belongs to you, don't you? No, it belongs to Almighty God. Listen to what it says in Scripture, Job 12:10, whose hand, God, in whose hand life is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. Even Acts 17:25, I believe, says the same thing. Loved one, listen, it is not a sin to be rich. Do you know what the word enjoy means in the Greek? It means to take pleasure in. Do you take pleasure in what God has given unto you? You know, listen, do you know, I'm going to be weird, but I am weird. And the older that I get, the weirder I get, okay? Ask my son, he'll tell you. But here's, no, ask my wife, she'll really tell you. But here's the thing. I thank God nearly every day for St. Augustine grass. I know that's weird. I know. Pray for me. But why? Because when I was a little boy, and when I grew up, we didn't have grass. We had stickers. Yeah, oh yeah. Those big bullheads, whatever they call stickers, the one they stick in your toes because we didn't have shoes. We just ran barefoot. That's how we were tough. We're not like the sissies today. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. But I never forgot when I was a little boy, I went over there and a person, the other little boy that I saw, they had the greenest grass and it was St. Augustine. And I walked in that and it was the first time I'd ever seen it. And I said to myself, I hope when I grow up that I'm going to have St. Augustine grass. And I know you say, Bill, that's silly. I know it is, but I thank God for it. I thank God for the shade tree. I thank God for the home. I thank God when I'm in the shower that I have hot water. Do you understand? I thank God for that. I thank God that I can sleep in clean sheets. Amen? Oh, listen, I am thankful. You know, listen, it's the word enjoy, richly enjoy all things that God has given unto us. You know what that means? That God wants you to enjoy what you have and what he's given unto you. Do you have a big old house? Well, why don't you quit feeling guilty about it? Well, you know, somebody comes in and we really work hard. You make 15 excuses when you should say, I am richly enjoying all things that God has given unto me. Praise the Lord. It's his home. See, when I remember one time my car got wrecked and I said, Lord, your car just got wrecked. What are you going to do about it? No, all things belong to him. I said, it's your car. What are we going to do about your car? Man, look at that guy. Lord, look what he did. No, do you understand? If you have a beautiful home, you know what you are. If you don't have a beautiful home, say, this is what God has given me, and I enjoy it. Amen. I'm going to enjoy it because he's given it unto me. You have a boat? Shame on you. No. I remember years ago, there used to be one couple that was here, and they would come in with the boat already on with their truck because as soon as the service was over, they were at the lake. Yeah, they didn't invite me. But the thing of the matter is, listen, if you have a boat, why don't you enjoy your boat? Do you understand? If you have beautiful clothes, enjoy your beautiful clothes. If that's what God has given unto you, I'm not talking about being greedy. Amen? I'm not talking about, you know, look what I have. But I'll tell you what I do, and I've learned this, and I pray you learn it right now. Don't you ever, ever feel guilty about what God has given to you. If he has blessed you, I'm not talking about, you know, where we're lovers of money. I'm not talking about that sin. No, where God just blesses you. Oh, listen. And you know what that does? You just, you have to thank him. Amen. I mean, how can you not thank him? And boy, I mean, to have air conditioning in your home, you want to be thankful? Let the AC go out like it has for 3 or 4 days. You know what I mean? You go, oh, God, I'm going to be a charismatic now. I mean, I'm going to speak in other tongues, whatever. A rough bunch, you know. Man, that first service, boy, they were on fire. You're trying to put out this fire. No, I'm teasing. But think about that. Listen, enjoy it. But don't trust in uncertain riches. You trust in the certain God, amen? The God who gives you all things richly to enjoy. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, loved one. Listen, the Bible says in Proverbs 11:28, he who trusts in his riches will fall, but not the righteous. No, not the righteous. Listen, wealth should be a Christian's servant. Do you understand? Not vice versa. No, no, no. Being rich is not a sin. Jesus said that. It's not rich to be. There are many rich people in the Bible. It's not a sin to be rich, but I'll tell you this. It is a great responsibility. And we're all stewards. So how do we express our thanks to God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy? How do we express our trust in God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy? Verse 18, look at it. Let them, here we go. What do we do with what all that we have? Let them, number one, do good. Why? Well, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. Let them do good. That word do good is only found here, although you'll read it elsewhere in the New Testament, but it's here in the Greek, it's different. It's only found here. And it means to do what is noble, to do what is excellent. Listen, if being rich for a believer, if it only boosts your ego, you don't help. That doesn't help anyone else, does it? Does that enrich anybody else? No, absolutely not. Listen, our attitude is to be rich in good works. Why? Our Father wants us to be rich in good works. We're to be like the body. We're the body of Christ. We're to be like Jesus on this earth. And people need to see your good works. That's what the Bible says. What did Jesus say in Matthew 5:16? Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven, so that they may see your good works. So what makes you shine? It's when you do good works, the works that God's called you to do. Amen? And guess who gets the glory? God does. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But listen, to not do good for the believer, to not do good means, loved one, that you're out of the will of God. Let me give you the scripture. 1 Peter 2:15, for this is the will of God, that by doing good, this is the will of God for you, that by doing good, you may put to silence or muzzle, you may muzzle the ignorance of foolish men. Now, what is that saying? Well, number one, it's saying that you have been commissioned by God our Father to do good in this world. Amen? And the second thing is, the word there, put to silence or to muzzle a person, means that they are literally so stunned by what you do that they're speechless. They're muzzled. Boy, that's what God has called us to do. Not only that, in Romans 12:21, it tells us, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Does Satan, does he like good? No, he's the enemy of all good. Amen? So how do we conquer evil? Our only weapon, do good. That's what God has called us to do. Matter of fact, we've been commanded in Romans 12:9, it says, Paul says, cling or cement yourself, cling to what is good. That's what we are to do. John says this in 3 John 11, beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Here it comes. He who does good is of God. He says, but he who does evil has not seen God. Do you think that God is blessed and pleased whenever he sees his children doing good? Absolutely. Let me give you the scripture. Hebrews 13:16. Paul says, do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And listen to me, sometimes doing good is a sacrifice. Do you understand? I mean, it's a sacrifice. You know, I've told you this story back when Rebecca and I went, the first church that we planted, we had I don't even need to tell you how broke we are, because you'll get your violins out, you know. But we had nothing. But I was in the church that night. I had $100, Remember, I call it my lucky 100, okay? Not that I believe in luck. But I always carry a lucky 100 with me whenever God moves on me to help someone. Does that make sense? So there I am, and I'm a young man, and man, I'm broke, and broke. And so this big guy comes in. Matter of fact, I just talked to him the other day. This has been 35 years ago, however long it's been now. And he says, "Bill, my wife, we're leaving." He was an oil worker in Olney, Texas, and had been attending church there. And he said, "And we're going to Dallas. We got to get out." And he had a horse trailer, and in that horse trailer was all of his stuff, you know. And so his name was Todd. He's still a great friend of mine today. And he said, and I said, the Lord said, "Give him that $100 bill." No. I mean, I thought I couldn't be God. You know what I'm saying? Why would God want me to give my last? That's all I have was a $100 bill, and our refrigerator was empty. Finally, I pulled it out and gave it to him. Do you know that $100 took that man? You cannot believe to the heights, but it was $100, just a simple $100 that changed his life. Do you understand? I'm talking about financially. Where he is today is unbelievable. Lives in a $1 million home. Do you follow me? Loves the Lord with all of his heart. And he looks like that famous, what's his name? Never mind, I forget his name. What was his name? It doesn't really matter. No one's going to get saved if I don't remember his name, right? But I do remember this. God is well pleased. Listen, he's well pleased when you do those things. We had a gentleman just a little bit ago that was in the first service. He says, "You don't know, remember me, but it was this church that when I was sick, I lived right on those apartments, when I had a heart attack, all the time, you gave us money and we survived." You know, that's what it's all about doing good. Amen. The Bible says in Acts 10:38 how Jesus of Nazareth followed the Lord, empowered by God, and I'm tired. And you know what I'm saying? And it says that God was with him, and he went out and he was doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Amen. And we're to do the same thing, aren't we? Amen. Yes. Yes. 1 John 2:6, it says, if we say that we abide in him, that we ought to walk even as he walked. The word of God teaches us that as we have opportunity, the word opportunity means an open door that God opens. It says, let us do good to all. That means every unbelievers, everyone, do good to all, especially the household of the faith. Not just our family, our brothers, our sisters, which are family, amen? We're to do all of those things. And listen, here's the deception. So many people believe that you have to have a certain level of income to do good works. That's not true. That's not true at all. Listen, you can bake a cake and take it to some. You can bake cookies. You can call on the phone and encourage. That's a good work, isn't it? Yes. Yeah. And if you're always preoccupied with what you have, you will never reach out and help those who need help, okay? The Bible tells us clearly, you know, Ephesians what? 2:10 and following, it tells us that you know, that we're created in Christ Jesus before time began for good works, that we should walk in them. The word walk means that should be our lifestyle. Titus tells us that we should be zealous for good works, on fire for good works. We should be maintaining good works. The Bible, Colossians says we should be fruitful in good works. Timothy, 2 Timothy tells us that we have been thoroughly equipped, meaning the word of God, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And not only that, the Bible says if you are in Christ Jesus, that God is working in you and you are a good work. Amen? Amen. Listen, I look and I say, Lord, you're so good. Let them do good. And here's the next one, ready to give. In other words, be generous. Be bountiful in your giving. I think I quoted this scripture earlier. I can't even remember. Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over in your bosom, men will give unto you with the same measure that you measure out. It'll be measured back to you. What a promise from Jesus. Henry Ward Beecher said this. He said, watch lest prosperity destroy your generosity. That's a true word, isn't it? So it says, do good, ready to give. And look at the next one. willing to share. Share in the Greek is koinonia, like our cafe. It speaks of communicating with one another, intimacy, sharing, and so forth. Fellowship. So sometimes you are in fellowship with people and you reach out to them because you know that they have a need and you meet that need because God tells you to do that. Today, for example, is Love Never Fails Sunday. You guys support the work, our local work, our global work, through the charity. And you know, the charity was built on the scripture that God gave me to start it. The very first day, my office used to be up there. I'll never forget, it was a Wednesday night. I already had a sermon prepared, and the Lord spoke to my heart, and I felt impressed to go through my concordance on the word poor or poverty. And as I was doing that, I fell on Proverbs 19:17, and the Holy Spirit quickened my heart, which says this: he who hath pity upon the poor. Pity doesn't mean feel sorry for someone. It means that you see it and you do something about it. It means not a handout. It means a hand up in life. Amen? He who hath pity upon the poor. Here it comes. Listen. Lendeth unto God. A loan to God. I didn't know God needs a loan. Did you? Lendeth unto God. And here comes the incredible promise. And he, God, will pay back what has been given. Do you know that that foundational scripture, I came down and preached it that night, and that was the birth. I didn't know it at the time, but that birthed Love Never Fails International, a Christian public charity. And oh, what God has done through it. Amen? You see, here's the thing. God says, you can't miss when you give to me. And because, you know, if you invest in me, I'll pay you back, especially when you do with the poor, when you do those things. The Bible says in Psalm 41:1, blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Proverbs 14:21, oh, he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he. Proverbs 28:27, he who gives to the poor will not lack. What an incredible promise. Look, you know, when you look at our nation, look at the waste, so much waste. Don't you see it? There should never be waste in the church. And you know what happens when we obey verses 17 and 18? Do you know what it produces? Look at verse 19. It says, when we do all those things, when we obey those commands, and we are rich, loved one, he says, you're storing up. The word storing up means literally to amass treasure. You're storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come. That's future. That they may lay hold on eternal life. So that amassing of a treasure from the time to come, now we go to the things future, meaning in heaven, meaning that your good works, the things that you do for others, they follow us all the way home, loved one. You know, Jesus put it this way in Matthew 6:19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Moth and rust and thieves break in, they steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Do you have treasures in heaven, loved one? It says, lay them up there where neither moth, rust, thieves, they don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, present tense, where your treasure is, so shall your heart be also. Future tense. What a word. And what is the results of all that? It says that you may lay hold on eternal life. Now, let's make sure we understand what that means. Were the Ephesians, were they already saved? Yes. Are we saved? Yes. So when it says lay hold of eternal life, we know that eternal life is a gift you can't earn by giving or whatnot, right? Work can't save, all right? So what is he saying? What Paul is saying here is if you're a believer, and he says if you want to live, then you have to lay hold onto real life. You have to lay hold onto real living. How? You do good. You be ready to give. You invest your life in eternal things that will no one can ever steal them away from you. The word lay hold is a revolutionary word, like we're in revolution right now. It means to seize, man, to grab it. In other words, the violent take it by force. Amen? And that's what we do as well. Now, with all that being said, let's bring this to a close by turning to Luke's gospel, chapter 18, and look in verse 18 of the story of the rich young ruler quickly. It says in Luke 18:18, "Now a certain ruler," we know that to be the rich young ruler, "asked Jesus, saying, 'Good teacher, what shall I do?'" Did you catch that? What can I do to do what? Well, to inherit eternal life. So he comes to the right person, and man, he asked the right question. And Jesus said to him, "Well, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that's God. You know the commandments. Don't commit adultery, don't murder, don't steal, bear false witness, honor your mother, your father." And the rich young ruler, look what he said. "Well, all these things I've kept from my youth up." I can't imagine looking in Jesus' eyes and saying, "I've done all those." Can you? But he did. The other gospels, one of the other gospels, I think it's Mark's gospel, says Jesus looked at him when he said that and loved him. You're like, "Oh yeah, you know, you must be from Texas because you're full of bull," you know, and so forth. And so what he did, Jesus looked at him and loved him, but that look didn't save. Now, let's continue, verse 22. "So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, 'Well, you still lack one thing, just one thing.'" He told the rich young ruler, "Sell all that you have, distribute to the poor," or the destitute, if you will, "and you will have treasure in heaven." And then he bids the invitation, "Come and follow me." The other gospel says, "Come, take up your cross and follow me." So here's the deal. The command to sell and give to the poor, it wasn't given to every believer. It was given only to this one man. Amen? There's a lot of rich people in the Bible. But the reason that Jesus said that is because he lacked only one thing that was costing him being saved or costing his eternal life. Does that make sense? He was rich, he was young, and he had all the money in the world. Now listen, you know, money is not bad, but money should just be in your hand, not in your heart. Amen? Keep it in your hand. Don't ever let it get into your heart. No, and Jesus, when he heard this, the rich young ruler, look what happened. He became not just sorrowful, he became very sorrowful. And why? He was very rich. Matthew's gospel says, and he walked away from Jesus. He turned his back and walked away from Jesus, and he was very sorrowful. And loved one, listen to me. Jesus didn't go after him. He didn't run after him and try to convince him. Why? The deceitfulness of riches. Man, listen, he loved possessions more than he loved eternal life. He loved possessions, having the right attitude about money. He loved possessions more than following the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He walked away. He turned his back upon the Lord. And you know what? He came and faced Jesus. Matter of fact, the other gospel says he came kneeling down. "Oh, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And here, you know, he comes to Jesus one way, but he leaves in a worse condition than he came. Oh, how tragic is that? Listened, you know what he did? He heard the command, but he missed the promise. You'll need to read the rest of Luke 18 there to understand, because Peter came in. "Well, how can we be saved? Lord, we've given everything." And oh, Jesus, you know, he said, "Oh, Peter, you gave up those stinking fishing boat. You know, rust, old nets that were all torn apart, you know." He said, "Listen, no man has left homes or houses and lands and sisters and brothers and da-da, all that who has not in this life received a hundredfold in the life to come eternal life." You know, he missed the promise. He just heard the command and missed the promise. I'm going to ask you a question, very important. Do you have the right attitude about money? You know, we don't talk about money here unless it's in our scripture, amen? Well, it's not a main topic, but money's important because all of us need it, amen? So do you have the right attitude about riches? Let me tell you what God says. 2 Corinthians 8:9. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor," meaning he had nothing, he lost, took everything, that you may through his poverty become rich. The Son of God left heaven, came to this earth, and became the Son of Man, became one of us yet without sin. And then he took our place on the cross, amen? Because we were poor. We were living in poverty. No, listen, the one who is rich, who owns everything, created everything, sustains everything, he made himself nothing. Oh, listen, why? Let me read it. That you, through his poverty, might become rich. He became what we were, poor, so we could become what he was and still is, rich. Boy, what love is that? You know, here is the only attitude that you should have when it comes to true riches and money on this planet. There's only one right attitude. And you must say to yourself that I am the richest person in the universe. Do you believe that? No, I know you don't. I can feel it. I sense it. I'm not beating on you. I love you. But listen to me. You are rich. You're so rich. But do you believe that you're rich? Listen, you have been blessed. God the Father, be thanks unto God the Father who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies which are in Christ Jesus our Lord. That means it's not, we're not blessed when we get home into heaven. He's talking about being blessed here. You have been pronounced blessed by Almighty God. You are the most blessed people on earth. Every blessing that heaven has, you have it. But do you believe it? Listen, you have been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, before time ever began. When you trusted in him, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit, which is the guarantee until that very day. Amen? Man, chosen by God, redeemed by God, purchased by God, sealed with the Holy Spirit, accepted, he accepts you just like he accepts his own son. You're justified just as if you had never sinned. You're co-heirs with Christ. You've overcome the world. Paul said, all things are yours. You're citizens of heaven. We are the richest people on this planet. And not only that, if you are in Christ Jesus, you have been by Christ's death upon the cross, you believing in Jesus, you have now been eternally redeemed. Eternally, it says in Hebrews 10, eternally redeemed, eternally bought. I bought you forever. Oh, do you understand? I've been bought forever. You've been bought forever. I'm endued with the power upon high. Are you endued with power upon high? Yes. Listen to me now. If so, after all that we know who we are in Christ, why is it that so many believers, well, they're not able to give. They're not able to do good. They're not able to be generous. And then they're unable to believe the promises of God, the God who cannot lie, the God who cannot lie. Loved one, listen to me. Why are you worried about money? I know I've been there. I've been there. Rebecca and I, we have been there. We know what it means. We understand the worry. What are we going to do? Oh, how's it going to work out? We've been there. But why do you worry about money? Really, if you belong to Jesus. Listen to me. A fine young man was in my office here the other day, and he was telling me about some of the things he's going through. And I looked him right in the eyes, and I said, I want you to listen to me now. I love you, but I want you to listen. You got to think right. You got to have the right attitude. And this is it. God will never, he will never, I mean, he will never, he will never, he will never, he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never leave you without support. He will never relax his hold upon you. No, never, no, never, no, never. I'm reading from the Amplified in my mind. He will never leave you without support. You may feel that you're without support. You may feel that you can't make it. I'm going to tell you, whenever you decide you're a husband and a wife and you have a new baby and you go, I don't know, the mom says, I don't know if I want to go back to work. Go to God with it. Amen. That's what we did. My wife worked up until the very day that Thomas was born. That he came home. And then she said, I think she said my water broke. I don't really remember. We took her. Oh, no one took her. I took her. Jesus, man. And you know what? She worked all those years. And she looked at me and said, let's believe God that I can take care and raise my family. I said, okay. And you know what God did? He did it all. He did it all. See, you can trust God. If you go to the Lord and he'll tell you, okay, yes, do that. Don't do that. You know what? My kid's got to go to this school or he's got to have this. Don't you think God knows that? He knows. You don't have to worry about anything. You don't ever have to worry about anything. God, Jesus would say, worry for 6 hours if it was going to help you. I command you, go worry 6 hours. Go get stressed out for 6 hours. And then after that, you're going to be great. That's not in the Bible. Jesus said, don't worry. Why do you worry? Why are you like the lost? They worry about what they're going to eat. They worry about what they're going to put on. They worry about what they're going to wear. They worry about, you know, if their car's going to start. You know what I'm saying? He says, no, you don't be like them. He gave us a great command, this great word. What did he say in Matthew 6:33? It's revolutionary. He said, here's what you need to do about everything that you need in your life, everything that you could possibly think of. Here's what you need to do. You need to seek first. Say that. Seek first the kingdom of God. Why? That is where your treasure is. Do you understand? That's where all of your help is. That's where all wisdom is. That's where all knowledge is. That's where our Savior is. It's a place of all grace. Then you come to Him. And you know what He says? Oh, you'll find grace. You'll find mercy. You'll obtain it in time of need. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Why? You belong to the kingdom of God. Heaven is your home. This is not your home. He says, seek ye first the kingdom. The kingdom that you're a part of and His righteousness. He rules in righteousness. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all. What a beautiful word. All. What do you mean, Lord? All these things, the things that you need in life, the things that you need to eat, the things that you need to wear, the home that you need to live in, the things that your kids need, whatever you need, will be added unto you. Will be added unto you. Why do you worry? Why do you are the richest people on this planet. You should every day, you should wake up and be like the psalmist. And when he says, trust in God. Do you trust in God? Do you trust Him? Can He trust you? Can He trust you with true riches? It says, trust in God. And do good. Dwell in the land. And I love this. Feed on His faithfulness. Feed. What are you feeding on? Worry? Feed on His faithfulness. I'm telling you, He will manifest it. He will make it happen. I can testify to that. I've lived it. He has never let me down. He's never let you down. He never will let you down. Trust in Him. Believe in Him. Believe the promises of God because He loves you. Oh, trust in God. Do good. Dwell in the land. Feed on His faithfulness. Delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? I believe it with all my heart. He will never, I know I've said it already, but I love to say, He will never relax His hold upon you. Do you understand? That means to relax His hold, means He had to let go. That means He has you right this minute. Do you understand? I love it. He has me. He's got me, but I'm going this way. It doesn't matter. He's got you, but I don't know. But no, you're engraved on the palm of His hand. Do you understand? You can't get away from God. He purchased you with the blood of His Son, the life of His Son. Listen, you have to have the right attitude about riches. the right attitude. And not only that, if you don't know Christ, you're in trouble. See, do you want to be rich? Then come to Christ. If you want to be rich, come to Christ. Oh, that sounds like the blab it, grab it people. No, no, no. What I'm saying, if you don't come to Christ, you will live in poverty in eternity forever and ever and ever and ever. As our heads are bowed, maybe you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord. You've never asked him to come and live in your life, into your heart. You can do that right now. And you know how you do it? You don't even have to get out of your chair. You just have to stick your hand up where I can see it. And I want to, God bless you. That's right. I just want you to lift your hand high and put it right back down. And I'm going to pray for you. God bless you. I saw that other hand as well. Yes, God bless you. I see that hand. Say, I want Jesus to be my Lord. I want him to be my Lord today. I want him to save me. I want heaven to be my home. I want my sins forgiven. Last call. If that's you, would you just lift your hand, put it right back down. Father, you saw their hands. And their hands meant they're putting their hand in your hand, and it's an act of faith on their part, saying, I want you to be my Savior, Jesus. So I want you to pray. Those that lifted your hand, you pray this prayer with me right now. Church, help me out. Say, Father, today, my attitude is right. I want Jesus to be my Savior. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. Father, you promised if I would confess Jesus and believe in my heart, you would save me. I believe. Save me now. In Jesus' name, I am saved. Amen. God is good. Amen. Aren't you glad that you love the Lord? Amen. Aren't you glad you came to church today? Amen. God is good. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Now, listen, you that lifted your hands, maybe you prayed that prayer online. I'll get to you in just a moment. But you that lifted your hands, you can either, after service is over, when Jesse closes this out, you can come down here. There'll be people in the front, and they have a booklet entitled Welcome to the Family of God. They'd love to give that to you. However, I'm going over to the Welcome Center, and I'm there in the main lobby, and I have the booklet there. I'd love to meet you. I'll give you the booklet to you personally. If you're this, and I'm sorry, and you online, if maybe you prayed that prayer or listening on the radio or now, then here's what you do. Just send me your address to info@loveneverfails.com, and that booklet will be mailed out to you tomorrow. If you're visiting for the very first time, also in the Welcome Center over in the main lobby, they have a free gift. They'd love to give it to you. I'd love to meet you as well, and there'll be people after the service to pray with you down here. And I know thank you, Lord. Don't forget Haltom Christian School. They have things that they want you to see over there in the main lobby. Would you visit their table before you leave today? And some of you probably never even been to the main lobby, all right? Go check it out. There's people over there, you know. I'm thankful. I'm so thankful. And I'm thankful for you. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you in Jesus' name. Let's sing to the Lord.